As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Ending our reading there at the 47th verse of the chapter. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for Christ's sake. Let us again seek the Lord in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee once more in our Saviour's name and on the merits of his blood. We do thank thee for thy presence in this gathering this evening. We thank thee for help given in the singing of thy praise, in the reading of thy word, in the seeking of thy face in prayer. And O Lord, we cry to thee now for help in the preaching forth of thy word. I ask for that infilling of the Spirit, so that the word will be preached in the power of God, and that the Lord Jesus himself will be uplifted and exalted, so that in all things he will have the preeminence. Lord, we plead the blood for this meeting, and we ask for blood-bought liberty now, and the preaching forth of thy truth. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and for his sake. Amen. Two world wars and many sins have been fought in the cause of liberty and of freedom. There have been many corrupt administrations, many dictatorial powers that have raised their heads and held a people in subjection and in terrible bondage and cruelty, held a people in bondage to various ideologies and philosophies. Truly, civil and religious liberty is to be highly valued. Freedom is something indeed that we should cherish. Slavery and bondage is something that is to be despised, indeed to be hated. If this is so in a physical sense, then it is even more so in the spiritual realm. Here in this 8th chapter of John's Gospel, we find that the Lord Jesus has come to the temple. In verse 2 we read, "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." Then we find that the scribes and the Pharisees come and interrupt and bring the woman that was taken in adultery. But after the Lord Jesus has dealt with the questions that they posed and spoken to this woman that they brought, we find that the Savior continues to speak to the people. And as he does so, he makes them aware of their great need. For example, in verse 12 of this 8th chapter of John's Gospel, we read, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He saw their great need of light because they were in the darkness of their sin. Then when we come to verse 51 of this 8th chapter, we find that he's telling them of their need of life because they are in spiritual death. "If a man keep my saying or my word, he shall never see death." And he's speaking there about life, having life everlasting, life eternal from the one who is the giver of life, even the Lord Jesus himself. But here in John chapter 8 and verse 36, we find that he speaks to them of another great need, the need of liberty, the need of freedom. Because as he looks upon this gathering here that he's teaching and that he's speaking to, he does realize that they are in bondage. And so he says in the words of our text here in this 36th verse, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So the Savior is speaking here of real liberty, of true and genuine freedom. And I want for just a few moments this evening to have you consider with me this 36th verse of John chapter 8. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And as we come to consider these words, first of all, I would draw your attention to the Savior's observation. The Savior's observation. As he's speaking here to those who are gathered, he does know their hearts. He does know their need. And he realizes that those that he's addressing and those that he's speaking to and bringing the Word of God to, that they are in bondage. This is the observation that he makes concerning them. Now, they do not see it that way. They do not realize it. They do not understand it. In fact, they are very keen to make it known to him that they are the descendants of Abraham. After all, in verse 33, they speak to the Lord Jesus and they say, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." You say, well, why are they speaking in this manner? Well, if we go back to the previous verses, from verse 30, as he's continuing to speak forth the word of God to them, there were those that believed on him. And then those that believed, he said to them in verse 31, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And no doubt they found that a very surprising word, that the Lord Jesus is speaking to them about being free. And so they respond and they say in verse 33, "Well, we are of the seed of Abraham." But the Savior wants them to understand that the bondage that he's speaking of is a bondage to their sin. And so therefore in verse 34, the Savior says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Of sin. And so the bondage that they were in was a bondage to sin. And the Lord Jesus is telling them that they need to have freedom and they need to be brought out of that bondage to their sin. Now, he's not speaking about anything other than this bondage of sin. Oh, they might have thought he was speaking about some other kind of bondage. Perhaps maybe some kind of an economic bondage in the land, or some kind of political bondage, or some kind of civil bondage. No doubt they would have remembered that once they were in bondage, in the land of Egypt. But now, presently, they are in bondage in the sense that they are under the yoke of Roman rule. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus wants to focus their minds and focus their hearts on a spiritual bondage. They are in bondage to their sin. And that's why he says in verse 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Not only were they sinners in bondage to their sin, but all of us by nature are in bondage to sin. All of us by nature are the slaves of sin. We find that when Paul is writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, he says this, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So what's he saying? He's saying, well, remember that once you were the servants of sin, once you were in bondage to your sin, there was a time when you were a perpetual bondslave. A perpetual bondslave to sin. A bondslave to sin. Now, what do we mean by sin? Being a bondslave to sin. Well, let us think of sin in this way. Sin is a matter of the relationship of the heart to God. Sin is living in breach of and in hostility to the holy law of God. You say, well, are you saying that I'm living that way? Are you saying, preacher, that I'm a sinner in bondage to my sin? And that's the way that I am living? Yes, because that's what the Word of God tells us. We have it so clearly and plainly set forth from that verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. The carnal mind. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity against God. Enmity with God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The carnal mind. What is the carnal mind? The carnal mind is sinfully conditioned human nature. The nature that we're all born with. For the Bible says all have sinned. The Scriptures tell us there is none righteous, no, not one. But those to whom the Lord Jesus is speaking here in John's Gospel chapter 8, those who are saying, well, we are the descendants of Abraham. We were never in bondage to any man. What they're saying is this, look, oh, remember, don't forget that we are the sons of promise. And therefore, if we're the sons of promise, how can you say that we're in bondage? Are we not spiritually free? And it's clear from all that we read here in these verses in John chapter 8, that as they heard the message and the observation that the Savior made concerning them that they were in bondage, they didn't like it. They were rejecting it in their hearts. They objected to being told that they were in bondage to their sin. And they were refusing to accept that until Christ would liberate them and Christ would set them free, they would be nothing but the slaves of sin and therefore the slaves of the devil. And for them to simply plead, well, you know, we are of the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we are not in bondage to anyone. That was not going to change their situation. Over in Galatians chapter 3, we have those words in verse 29. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In fact, we have another reference here in this same third chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians concerning Abraham in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed. He was justified, not as someone who was working for his salvation, but as someone who believed. Someone who believed on Christ. And those who believe on the Lord Jesus then are, as it were, imitating Abraham's conduct. He believed, he was justified, and they become heirs of his privileges. But look at verse 7 of Galatians 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those who have believed on Jesus Christ, those which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Abraham's highest distinction was this, that he was a justified man. Because he had believed on Christ and had received by faith the righteousness of Christ. So therefore those who believe on Christ, like Abraham and are, like Abraham, justified through believing, they are in that sense his spiritual descendants. But these people here were claiming to be his natural descendants. And because they felt they could make that claim, therefore they couldn't understand why that they were in bondage to any man. But the Lord Jesus is observing that they are in great bondage. They are in terrible bondage. Terrible bondage to their sin, despite being the descendants of Abraham. Am I speaking to someone in the meeting tonight? And there's the application of this word to your heart. Perhaps you are maybe the only one in a family that's not yet believed on Jesus Christ. And somehow you're trying to claim, well, you know, I come from a family. I'm in a family who all profess faith in Christ. Therefore, I surely will be all right. It's a bit like what these people here, these Jews, were claiming and pleading as the Lord Jesus was speaking to them in the temple. They were making this boast about being of the seed of Abraham. Again, verse 33, we are Abraham's seed. Look at verse 37. The Lord says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed. I know. The Lord could observe, the Lord knew, the Lord could see. But all of their boasting in this regard was to no avail. Because the Lord is observing that they are in bondage to their sin. This is the observation that He is making. They're in bondage to their sin. And they can't see it. They can't understand it. They just cannot take it in. How is it that you say this? How is it that you are telling us this? This is a message that is strange to our ears. Is this message that you're hearing tonight strange to your ear? You see, this people here so often and so regularly misunderstood the word that the Lord Jesus was bringing to their hearts. So often they were misinterpreting, misunderstanding the word of the Lord. When he would speak to them of bread, they were thinking he was speaking of literal bread. Whenever he would speak to them of freedom, they were thinking he was referring to some kind of temporal freedom. Because they felt they were free in their own eyes. But yet they didn't love the Lord. And in these verses in John 8, the Savior is making that clear, that they do not love Him. In fact, they hate Him. And so the Savior has made this observation. And as He looks upon you tonight, what does He observe? He observes a heart. He observes a life that is lived in bondage, in slavery to sin. Oh, but you say, well, I don't consider that I'm in bondage. I don't consider that I'm in slavery. How could it possibly apply to me? I feel that I'm free. I'm free to come to this house of God, and I'm free to go away from this house of God. I can choose to come here. I can choose to stay away. I can make choices in life. I'm not in any kind of bondage. I have got all the freedom that anyone could desire. I say you're in bondage to your sin if you're a sinner outside of Jesus Christ. I say this to you. Seek to engage in some exercise that is contrary to the will of your master. And then you will see just how free you are. Then perhaps you will realize and understand the bondage that you're in. What does the gospel say? The message of the gospel is repent. Repent of sin and believe the gospel. The gospel message is to every sinner to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and give Him the supreme place of affection in your heart. Can you do that? Can you do that? Of yourself, no. Be honest with judgment day honesty. You'll have to answer, I can't. Well, why can't you? Because you're a slave. You're a slave to yourself. You're a slave to your sin. Could you spend a day in prayer? You say, no, I couldn't do that. Well, then you're not free. You're in bondage. You're in bondage to your sin. Do you know who your master is? Being in bondage to sin, you're a child of the devil. And that's what the Lord Jesus told these people here. In case you think I'm using strong language, listen to what the Savior said in verse 44 of John 8. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. You're of your father the devil. He is your master. You're in bondage and you're in slavery to him. Now, who's he addressing here? Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to these Jews that considered themselves religious. And he's telling them who their real master is. I say to you, it's terrible to be a slave to sin and as such a child of the kingdom of darkness. Could there be anything more terrible than that? Just this. To be a slave to your sin, to be in bondage to your sin, to be a child of the kingdom of darkness and not know it. And be deceived. And think that somehow you're free. That you have real freedom and you have real liberty. You haven't. You're in bondage to sin and to the devil. That's the observation that the Lord Jesus is making concerning the people that he brought these words to of our text. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That brings us in the second place to consider his proclamation in these words. If the Son make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Or we could read it, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free in reality. Ye shall be free truly. The freedom that he's speaking about is real freedom. It's true freedom. Freedom in reality. Freedom from the curse of sin. Freedom from the bondage to sin. Freedom from the lordship of sin. That sin that's reigning in your heart and reigning in your life. But I want you to see it's a freedom in the position and in the place of being adopted sons in the family of God. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son. The Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Here is freedom. And this freedom that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here, this freedom that he's proclaiming, is a freedom that is bound up in the whole concept of being brought into the family of God as the sons and daughters of God to enjoy all the freedom of the household of God. It's a freedom that brings heaven into your heart and into your life when up to now you have been in the midst of the worst tyranny and bondage that's possible. Tyranny and bondage to sin and the devil. Paul and Silas, you remember we read in the Acts of the Apostles how that they were cast into prison, and there at midnight they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see, they had that freedom. They knew that liberty in Jesus Christ. They were in prison. You would say, well, a prison is not exactly a place of freedom, is it? There's not all much liberty in prison if you're there. Ah, but though they were there in the physical sense, they had true spiritual freedom and liberty in their heart to lift their heart and their voices in praise unto God. This is the proclamation that the Savior is making. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom from a conscience that gives you no rest. If you for a moment begin to think of your sin, you see, every sinner views conscience as an enemy. And yet, what is conscience? Conscience is, if you like, that echo of the law of God in the heart, reminding us that we are accountable for our actions, for our deeds. And no sinner in his sin likes conscience speaking. No sinner in his sin wants to make conscience his bosom friend. And yet here is the proclamation. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There will be that freedom of conscience. Because when your conscience would accuse you of wrongdoing, when your conscience would accuse you of sin, would you not want, if it were possible, to silence conscience, to slay conscience, to get conscience removed altogether? But when you come and trust in Christ, there's freedom. Freedom from an evil conscience. Paul writing to the Hebrews, you remember the words that we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. In verse 19 he's speaking about having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And then coming down to verse 22, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What's an evil conscience? It's a conscience that's burdened. It's a conscience that's polluted with unpardoned guilt. And that's your conscience tonight. As a sinner in your sin, that's your conscience. And yet we read in Hebrews 9 and 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? Purge your conscience from dead works. And when you experience that, you know, conscience is a welcome monitor then. And you love the echo of the voice of conscience in your heart. How? Why? Because when you come to Christ and you know freedom and liberty in Christ, then you love the one who placed conscience there. That's the difference. And here's the proclamation by the Savior. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This is freedom in reality. This is true freedom. But you're a slave. You're in bondage to jealousy, to pride, to your lusts. Maybe even in bondage to the fear of man. I wonder what you might single out tonight in your life that would really be as a monument to the bondage of sin that you're in. And no matter what you might pick out, no matter what you might choose, listen to the proclamation. There's freedom from that bondage in Jesus Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That brings us to the third thing. And it's the identification here. His identification. If the Son therefore shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. If the Son, who is he? Who is he? Well, there are many verses here in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel that tells us exactly who he is. We have, for example, those words in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. The one who is the Son that we're reading of in our text in verse 36, if the Son shall make you free. The Son is the sent one of God. But not only is he the sent one of God, we find from verse 46 that he is the sinless one. Which of you, he asks, convinceth me of sin? He is the sinless one. When we come to another verse in this same chapter, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. That's speaking of the cross. So the one who is the Son in our text in verse 36 is the Savior. Who is he the Savior of? He's the Savior of sinners. And who are sinners? They are those in bondage to their sin. And they are slaves of the devil. And here is the identification of the one who can set you free and give you real, true liberty. Because this liberty, this freedom, is not to be found in yourself. It's not to be found in any church. It's not to be found in any form or any ritual or any ceremony. Oh, I tell you, it is freedom in Jesus Christ. And I must say to you, if Christ the Son does not break the chains and fetters that hold you and that bind you to your sin, I want you to know they will never be broken. Never. Because he's the only one. And listen to it. He's the only one who can set you free from your bondage. As a bond slave to your sin and a bond slave to Satan, Christ is the only one who can set you free. There is none other. There is none other. He is the very author. The very author of this liberty. He is the very author of this freedom that he's speaking of. That he's proclaiming. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And it is Jesus Christ who imparts this freedom. Whenever. And whoever the Spirit comes to. And imparts life. And there's the miracle of the new birth by the Spirit of God. That's why we're reading over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where, listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. And those sinners that are born again of the Spirit of God is in their heart. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Can you see it? By what means is this freedom brought to men and women in their sin? In all of their bondage, in all of their slavery? Well, you may have noticed as we were reading some of the verses here in John chapter 8 that there's so many verses that focus upon the Word. Focus upon the Word of God. For example, in verse 31, if ye continue in my Word. And then in verse 32 he says, and ye shall know the truth. God's Word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You come down to verse 37, you have it again. My Word. The Lord's telling them, my Word hath no place in you. It's His Word. You come to verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? The Lord's asking them. Even because ye cannot hear my Word. Then you come to verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. An emphasis again upon the Word of God. Verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying or my word, he shall never see death. Do you see the emphasis upon the Word of God? It is the Word of Christ. And the Word of God is the instrumental means that God uses. Because it's this Word, and it's only this Word, the Word of God, that tells us what we are. And tells us who we are. It was this Word that was telling this people who were gathered who they were. They were slaves. It's the Word of God that was telling them that they were in bondage. That they were the servants and the slaves of sin. That they belonged to the kingdom of darkness. It's this Word and only this Word that tells sinners that they must repent of sin and believe the gospel. There's no other Word that says that. So it's this Word that the Savior was proclaiming. And it's only this Word, men and women, that will lodge in your heart. Will lodge in your heart the Word of God. And I want you to know if you reject this Word, you reject Christ. You reject Christ. If you refuse this Word, you refuse Christ. And you're refusing the only one who can give you true liberty, who can set you free from your bondage. For you can't have dealings with Jesus Christ apart from the Word of God. And if you don't have dealings with Jesus Christ and believe on Him and trust Him to save you, you'll be in hell. If that's it, plain and straight, you'll be in hell. If you reject the Word of God, if you spurn the Word, you cast it from you, you cast it aside. So I ask you, are you free? Or are you a slave? Christ alone can set you free. Will you come to Him? Will you trust Him? Will you believe on Him? For if you come to Him, if you believe on Him, if you trust Him, then you will have real freedom. You will have freedom for the first time to love God. As a sinner in your sin, you don't love God. You can't love God. You're in bondage to your sin. But coming to Christ, who will set you free, there's freedom to love God. You will have freedom to truly worship God. And worship Him in that way that He commands in His Word, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You will have freedom to do those things that will please Him. You will have freedom to engage in service for Him. You will have freedom to delight your heart in Him. That's the kind of freedom that you'll have. That's why the Lord Jesus is speaking forth this word in our text in verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I urge you tonight to come to Christ. I urge you tonight to look to the Savior and experience this liberty. Experience this freedom in your own heart and in your own life. For up till now, as one unsaved, I hope you have come to realize in the light of the Word of God that you've been hearing that you're in spiritual bondage. That you're not free. That you're a slave of the devil and he is your master. You're in the kingdom of darkness. You're not yet in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the only way you get an entrance into the kingdom of God is by the door, who is Christ. Will you come to Him? Will you believe on Him? And know this freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's bow in prayer. Just in a moment or two, our meeting will be over. But may I say, if there's any here tonight and the Lord has been speaking to your heart through His Word, you've come to realize that you are a sinner, that you are a slave to your sin, that you are in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, but you desire this freedom that is found in Christ, then I urge you to flee to the Savior just where you sit in the pew. He bids you come. He bids you come now. Oh, that you would obey the command. Oh, that tonight you would seek the Lord and be rid of your bondage and your slavery and enter into Christ by faith and be set gloriously free in Him. Should it be that you would like to discuss this further? Maybe there are questions that you have in your mind, things that are not clear, but you're anxious, you're troubled, you're concerned. Then do make it known to us, and we'll be only too glad to meet with you and to help you from the Scriptures, so that you'll get into Christ by faith. You'll get to the cross by faith. You'll get under the blood by faith in Jesus Christ. Hearken to His Word. Come and receive Him tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy presence with us. And we thank Thee also for Thy Word. And we cry to Thee that Thou wilt write Thy Word upon our hearts. O God, speak to the unsaved, those who are in bondage, slavery to their sin. Oh, we cry to Thee that they might know that true freedom, that genuine liberty found only in Jesus Christ. We ask that Thou will be pleased to separate us now in Thy fear and with Thy blessing, for Christ's sake.